What do you do when you are up against a giant? Let's talk about that next on Sound Doctrine.
Your spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless love, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
Hey, are you facing a giant trial right now? Maybe it's a layoff from work, marital troubles, or you come down with a virus. How do you handle that sort of thing? Well, today on Sound Doctrine, we'll get some help as we examine David's encounter with a giant. We're going to be in 1 Chronicles chapter 20 today, but before we head back there, we start off in 1 Thessalonians. Here's our teacher and pastor, Jeff Johnson, with today's edition of Sound Doctrine.
Over in 1 Thessalonians, just jot this down. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. Listen to what he says. But I would not have you ignorant, this is Paul, brethren, concerning them which have fallen asleep or died, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. And he's talking to Christians. See, guys, we have the hope of heaven. We have the hope of our child, our uncle, our aunt, our mom, our dad. They're not lost. Oh, I lost my father. No, you didn't lose him. Was he a Christian? Yeah. You didn't lose him. He's in heaven waiting for you to come. What? Well, don't you believe in heaven? I don't know. See, you don't have the hope of heaven. So you're going to sorrow as those that have no hope. Bummer. But then he says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. There's going to be a day when we're going to come together with our loved ones who have been up there. We're going to be raptured and we're going to be meeting the Lord in the sky, in the clouds. That's what it says. Forever to be with the Lord. And then he says, comfort one another with these words. Oh, such comfort, such hope. So David, interesting story. I just had to get into that because it's exactly where we're at in 1 Chronicles chapter 20. Let's go back to our text. He goes on now because David now took the crown of their king, verse 2. And David took the crown of their king from off his head. That's decrowning someone, you know. You're no longer a king. And notice, and he found it to weigh a talent of gold. And there were precious stones in it, and it was set upon David's head. And he brought also exceeding much spoil out of the city. He just went in there and cleaned house. And even took the king's crown and put it on his own head. And he brought out the people that were in it, and he cut them with saws. That doesn't mean he's cutting them up in pieces. And with harrows, he gave them shovels and iron, and with axes, he gave them axes. He actually did hard labor. He made them do hard labor in the city of Ammon. And David and all the people returned to Jerusalem, the city of peace. Wow. David evidently went to the battle finally and got together with his men and finished the battle. Isn't that awesome? You see, God said about David, David is a man that I love. David is a man that has my heart. You're saying, what? God has a heart of adultery and murder? No, no, no. He's saying David has a heart as his in his repentance. That David truly repented. Read later on Psalm 32, Psalm 51. Oh, man, you can feel and the tearing and the sorrow and the repentance that he had. But as soon as he confessed his sin, the Lord immediately cleansed him. And God says, that's the man that I'm looking for, is a man who knows how to repent. Turn towards me so I can show myself strong to him, get him out of the misery he's in, and put him on a solid rock and put a new song in his heart, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord because of that testimony. You see, David would go back to be king. And David would have another son. His name? Solomon. God's grace. Amazing. So now we enter into a new little section here in verse 4. The Philistines, giants, they were called, there's giants in those cities, as the spies said, were like grasshoppers in their sight. So what do you do when you are up against a giant? What do you do when you have a giant trial in front of you? How do you deal with that? And it came to pass after this that there arose war at Gezer. Actually, another name is Gob. And with the Philistines. So the war, it just is continuing on. I mean, these guys don't quit. Will the enemy ever quit against us Christians? He won't. Come on. Don't think it's strange concerning the fiery trial which is about ready to try you, as some strange thing has happened to me. Oh, how come this has happened? Are you a Christian? Yeah. Well, what are you crying about? Well, it's warfare. Yeah. What else is new? Well, I don't like it. Well, who does? I mean, we all experience the same stuff. And it's a bummer sometimes. But we get victories. We're at war. And when you're at war, you fight to what? Win. And then there's a sweet victory in winning. And that's what Christ is all about. On the cross, it is finished. He fought the battle, the greatest battle of all. And he won. And he gave it to us. He says, now you can have victory. You can be an overcomer in this world. You can be victorious, more than a conqueror, right? I mean, through Christ, I can do anything. Anything. Oh, the Lord is good. And it came to pass after this that there arose war with Gezer at the Philistines, and which time Semepajichi, whatever his name is, he was probably, you know, Italian. And he slew Sapai, that was of the children of the giant. So, and they were subdued. And so all of a sudden we're seeing, and this guy's name is also Saph. And this is a giant in the land. There was giants in the land, true giants, 9 foot tall men. I mean, these guys were huge. But now they're starting to slay the giants. How come? Well, they had an example of a little boy. His name happened to be David. David had a testimony at a young age. Hey, you guys that are young, get a testimony. And what is that testimony? That you're walking with the Lord, that you're slaying giants. You're a giant slayer. How come? Because I'm following my Lord, and I'm following what David did. I'm going in this land, and I don't care how big they are, in the name of the Lord, and we'll talk about this in a minute, you're going down, dude. You're history. And there was war again. See, the war continues with the Philistines. See, they kill a giant, and the Philistine says, you know what? We got a lot of little guys that are going to come after you now. And we're just going to get you, man. And they hated him. And they just kept coming. Philistines, remember, had chariots. The Jews didn't. They were mountain people. They had to be in the mountains because they didn't dare go down in the flatlands. And they were the ones that were doing the forests and had crops. And they were the farmers, the Philistines. They were wanting to just wipe people out. And Elihanah, or Hannah, son of Jair, slew the brother of Goliath, the Gittite. Now, remember, Goliath had what? How many brothers? Anybody know? He had four, which is interesting. We'll get to that in a minute. And he slew, so another giant is slain, whose spear, the staff, was as a weaver's beam. And that's exactly what is told of Goliath when he came on the scene. He had a huge spear. You just go, oh my gosh, look at the size of that thing. And yet again, there was war. Notice the warfare at Gath. And there was a man of great stature whose fingers and toes were 4 and 20. What? He had 24 fingers and toes, 6 on each hand and 6 on each foot. He was a weird looking guy. And he also was the son of a giant. Giants need an extra finger or toe. And this is true. This happens. This has happened. Interesting. But, it says, when he defiled Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimei, David's brother, slew this guy. Just brought him down. There's three giants that are taken out here. These were born unto the giant in Gath, and they fell by the hand of David. And notice, by the hand of his servant. So David was a giant slayer. And his men said, we can do that too. If David did, little old ruddy David, little old kid, we can do the same. And they got bold and brave in the Lord. Allowed the Lord to use them to bring down the giants in the land. Can you imagine how pumped they were when those big dudes fell? When they went over there and just lopped their head off. The victory. We're fighting giants. And we're winning. They followed suit. Remember, we have an adversary, the devil. An unrelenting enemy who will not stop, who continues to fight. And yet the Lord says, but I want you to stand in my power and in my might. And having done all, putting on the whole armor of God, I want you to stand against the wiles of the devil, his lies, his deception, the world, the flesh. You stand. I love that scripture in Luke chapter 22. Luke 22 in verse 31. Talk about spiritual warfare. The Lord said to Simon, to Peter, 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 behold, Satan has desired to have you. Oh, he wants you so bad that he may sift you like wheat. He wants to take you out slow. He just wants to drip, drip, drip on your head. Just at work, drip, 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 drip. Then you get home to your wife, drip, 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 drip. When your kids start, drip, drip, drip. He's, you know, just this and that, and what is this, and what is that? And you're flipping out. He wants to sift you like wheat. He wants to take you down slow but effectively because he wants to kill you. He wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your witness. He wants to destroy all that God has done in your life to this point. He wants to take you over and wipe you out. But here's what the Lord says, verse 32 of Luke 22. But, Peter, I have prayed for you. You see, you have a personal enemy. His name is Satan. He's your adversary. And he's good. And he's your personal enemy. But Jesus says, but I want to tell you that I'm your personal Lord and Savior. You see? And I prayed for you. Oh, do you know that he's praying for you right now in your situation? Do you understand who's behind you, who loves you, who died for you? He's praying for you. He's interceding for you to make it in this war, to be strong in this fight. I'm praying for you that your faith would not fail. What a prayer. That's what I need. Because sometimes I feel like I've lost faith. I don't even know if I believe in God. It's the warfare is so heavy. I don't know what I believe. But he's praying for you. He's interceding for you. That you would get it. Notice he goes on to there and he says, and when you are converted, when you really get this, when you get converted, when you really get born again and spirit-filled, when you really embrace the Lord totally, total submission, total selling out, total love, that you see that he loves you so much and you're going to love him back, because to whom much is forgiven, much is loved. And he's forgiven us so much. We love him. He says, when you get this and you get converted, you're going to strengthen your brethren. You're going to be a blessing to the body of Christ because you're going to be an active, moving part. And you're going to be doing your part in the body of Christ. You're going to find out your gifts and you're going to begin to use those gifts. And you're going to begin to do your part in the body of Christ at large. Not just in your home, taking out the trash, doing what you need to do. But in your church, you're going to do stuff. You're going to get busy for God. And throughout your job site and throughout the world. Because the church is bigger than this place. We're just one little part of it. But we're each seeking our gifts to move in them. And to be used of the Lord. To be blessed of God. So we're to stand still and watch God give us the victory. And here's where I want to finish. Would you turn with me to 1 Samuel 17? Now we're going way back when David was a little dude. A little ruddy dude, it says. When David has his encounter with the giant. And it starts in 1 Samuel 17, verse 38. Because Saul thought, hey, you need this armor. You're going up against this guy. And I don't know, you know, you can read the story how David got to this point. But Saul just said, you know, we sent a lot of guys out there and he took their heads off. And, you know, nobody wanted to go out there. All the biggest guys didn't want to go out there. The giant is too big. He's going to snuff us. David said, I'll go out there. Saul felt sorry for this little kid. Well, put on my armor at least, you know. So he puts on the armor and it's dragging in the dirt. And he has a hard time moving towards the giant in the armor. The helmet, his head's over, it's too heavy. The sword, gosh, he can hardly pick it up. He's a kid. And he just dropped everything. He said, I don't know this stuff. I don't know any of this stuff. And I can't go out there like that. I haven't proved it in verse 39 as he tried it on. Verse 40, it says that he went down to the little brook there. We always park our bus and have everybody go down to that little brook. It's there. The brook is there. And every once in a while, an Israeli truck will pull up and throw a whole dump load of smooth stones. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, that's really a tourist trap then, huh? But everybody wants to take home some of the rocks that are in that little creek there because Israel was on one part, the Philistines were on the other, and the battle was down in the bottom. And everybody was watching. And he picked up these smooth stones. And he had this way of using this sling. I mean, as a kid, he was good. He was spot on. Anything that came against his sheep, he'd take them out. Take them out. And he was just so good. All day long, I can see him watching over his flock, just practicing one thing after another, hitting the tree, hitting the tree, hitting the tree. And he kept doing that. God was preparing him for the place he had for them. And then he took out a lion and a bear. He's So, God, you're good, man. I took that guy down one shot right between the eyes. He was excited. He took down five stones. He only needed one for Goliath. What were the other four for? The other guys. Just in case, you know. I mean, he knew that the other brothers were going to come after him once he does Goliath. And they did, didn't they? They all came. All those big guys. And yet, his servants intervened and also helped him and did away with him. Notice verse 45. And David, to the Philistine, then said to this Philistine, as the Philistine was challenging him to come out, he said, "You come to me with a sword and a spear and with a shield, but I come to you," look at this, "in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled." You've come against the living God. You are in big trouble. And the guy's laughing. "You little ruddy dude, what are you going to do to me? This day will the Lord deliver you into my hand. And I will smite you, and I'm going to take your head off your body." Boy, David's a little big guy. "And all the assembly shall know," David said, "that the Lord saves not with the sword and the spear, not the way man fights, not carnal things, not trying to lean to your own understanding, figure this out so I can win, so I can get up on the guy, so I can be the one that figures it out, and I did this, and look what I did, I took that guy out. No, 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 that's not how God works. For the battle, he says, is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." This is the Lord's work. God will guide the stone. It's the first smart bomb, or guided missile, if you will, that went right in between his eyes. So David hastened, and notice in verse 48, he ran toward the enemy to meet the Philistine. In the name of the Lord. I mean, look at the boldness. He just went, and he's running towards this trial. He's running into it. Now that is something. When you can embrace your trial, when you can go at it and deal with it in the name of the Lord, in the power of God, through prayer, through standing on the word, "It is written, Satan." Oh, yeah, it continues to come. Yes, it's big, and it continues to and come at me. But you know what? You're going down. That's the promise of my God. You're not going to do damage. I'm going to do damage to you in the name of the Lord. It is written, Satan.
You're listening to Pastor Jeff Johnson on Sound Doctrine. He'll be back with more in just a moment. You can listen to us online at sounddoctrineradio.org. You can also request a CD copy for a suggested donation of $5 at 800-353-7553. Again, 800-353-7553. You know, many people have questions about the end times right now, like how close are we to the Lord's return? Well, not long ago, Pastor Jeff visited Israel. While he was there, the Lord gave him a word to share with the body of Christ. It's detailed for you in a special DVD. It's called End Times Scenario, and we'd gladly send it to you for just $10. Stop by sounddoctrineradio.org or call 800-353-7553. Please remember, your gifts help to make all of this possible, so thank you for standing with us. Again, at sounddoctrineradio.org. We realize some of you are hurting right now, and others greatly discouraged by what all has been taking place. We'd love to pray for you. Email those prayer requests to us. sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. Again, sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. Now let's finish up our message now. Once again, here's Pastor Jeff.
And then David, verse 48, he ran and he smote the Philistines. Verse 50, and David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling, with a stone. And he smote the Philistine and he slew him. And he ran over and he stood upon the Philistine, took his sword, it must have been huge, and drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him, cut off his head. Victory. David had victory through his faith in his God and what God could do. So that is really the end of Chronicles chapter 20.
Thanks again for listening to Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff. We'll see you next time when our study of 1 Chronicles continues. So, Father,